Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We positively had a weekend with a little red zone, little nappy nap at 4 o'clock, little late night game, watching the Raiders get their asses kicked by the Chiefs. I don't know. This league's a mess. We're going to get out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week long. On Wednesday, we're going to be at Coco's with our mayor, Brandon Scott. Also going to be joined by some other guests, including Senator Corey McCray. I think my pal Mike Marsigliano is going to be stopping by, so you'll be hearing us talk about that. And then next Friday, back on the beat on Black Friday, bring your leftovers. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs in Abingdon up in Harford County. And then on the 3rd of December, that's Friday, we'll be at Pappas in Cockeysville, Leonard Raskin's favorite place. He's told me to go out there. Although we had a great time at Nick's Grandstand Grill on Friday. We had a great experience last week all the way around doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We did everything but play, Luke, on Sunday. We watched and the Bengals didn't play either, but we got to watch the Browns. That was fun. Then we watched the Steelers, and as I said to their fans, at least you didn't lose this week. What a league, right? I mean, we get into this thing at the turn. Thanksgiving's next week. I'm talking pumpkin ice cream with our friends at Wise Markets and getting ready for the holiday, and I don't know who a good team is. Certainly the Arizona Cardinals are not a good team without Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and that's not exactly shocking, but for me, I kind of look at the AFC, and it's one of those situations where the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? I mean, the Ravens are licking their wounds all weekend from just a horrible Thursday night, but you look at the rest of the AFC North, Pittsburgh, without Ben Roethlisberger, who tests positive for COVID on Saturday, self-reported his symptoms, and they're going with Mason Rudolph. Kind of reminds you of where the Steelers were a couple years ago when they were in that position where it was Rudolph and Duck Hodges. And then for me, I mean, the biggest, I don't know if I'd say surprise, because maybe it's not surprising because it's the Browns, but going into Sunday's game, I thought that was a colossal opportunity for Cleveland to really look like they could seriously challenge the Ravens in the AFC North if they go to Foxborough and beat the Patriots, who had been playing pretty well of late. And not only did they fail to get that done.
Patriots, you know what I mean? I was just getting used to them sucking for 5 minutes, and then this happens, right?
Well, that's what I said about things changing but staying the same. Cleveland goes there and gets annihilated. I mean, we can talk about the Ravens playing like you know what in Miami on Thursday night, but going to Foxborough and not just losing. If they had lost 23-20, something like that, you shrug your shoulders, right? They get absolutely just walloped. I mean, absolutely walloped. They score on their opening drive, and then it was all downhill after that for them. So Cleveland, now they're 5-5. They're in last place in the division now. Bengals had a pretty nice bye week, I suppose. If you look at, you know, they sit back and watch the rest of the division lose. But you mentioned the Patriots, and oh, by the way, they've won 4 in a row, and they're looking pretty good. And their rookie quarterback has done a solid job, and their defense is really good. We should probably be talking about the Patriots a little more in terms of the, you know, looking at the landscape of the conference. So you have that.
Well, and there's another team in January that you might have to see here, there, somewhere, right?
Yeah, sure. No question about it. I mean, are they going to beat out Buffalo for the division? I'm guessing probably not. Are they looking like a team that has a great chance to be a wild card? No question about it at this point, especially when you look at how the AFC North is looking. But you have that. And then I think what probably makes everyone from Buffalo on down to, I don't know, Cincinnati, Cleveland, any wild card hopeful, they see what the Kansas City Chiefs look like on Sunday night. And that looked like the old Chiefs. And we've seen them even when they've won some games here of late. You know, we kind of saw them sleepwalk against the Giants on that Monday night. And you know, they beat the Packers, but the Packers didn't have Aaron Rodgers. The Chiefs look like the Chiefs on Sunday night.
Dude, Patrick, I knew the Mahomes. Raiders were in trouble when Mahomes was completing passes with his left hand. Yeah. That's when I said, all right, the Jedi is back. The return of the Jedi.
Yeah, even though they punted after that play. But yeah, it was definitely a Mahomes-like effort for him. And I mean, Kansas City 6-4, they've got their issues. There's no question about that. I don't think anyone should be crowning them and say they're automatically back. But
I don't see you think you want to see them on the second round of the playoffs if you have to go out there.
Exactly.
And play.
Exactly. I mean, they're still the Chiefs. They're still the, you know, a year removed from winning the Super Bowl, 2-time defending AFC champion. I mean, that was something that everyone else in the AFC had to at least take notice and say, That kind of looked pretty good, actually, which you hadn't been saying that about Kansas City for a while. Well,
by the way, can I correct myself? It won't be the second week because we're playing like regular season football. It'll be the fourth week of
the third
of January.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like by the time you get to the second round of the playoffs, because Kansas City will not be pleasant on January 28th or whatever the date is, literally.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I mean, you would assuming they stay healthy and what they did Sunday wasn't an aberration, which I get, you know, I guess could be skeptical.
Well, I'm not feeling so good about the Raiders or the Broncos or the Chargers right now either, so.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what you said. How do you figure this out? I think the NFC has some legitimately really good teams. I mean, you mentioned the Cardinals. I mean, of course, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins aren't playing. Yeah, they're going to struggle. Maybe you're surprised they struggled as much as they did Sunday, but that's not a big shock. But you look at the NFC, you think there are some really good teams. The AFC, I mean, Buffalo got back on track, but that loss to Jacksonville is still fresh in everyone's memory. We saw what happened to the Ravens Thursday night. I mean, the one team you point to, and you have to be impressed, even if they didn't blow them out on Sunday. How about Tennessee? I mean, everyone thought they lose Derrick Henry, and my goodness, I mean, all we heard, and I'm not going to say I disagreed with the notion, was Derrick Henry's the most valuable non-quarterback in the league. How are they going to survive without this guy? And meanwhile, their defense is playing really well. I mean, we saw what they did to the Rams on Sunday Night Football last week, and I get it. New Orleans doesn't have Drew Brees or even Jameis Winston at quarterback right now, but they get a victory, and I mean, they're 8-2. That speaks for itself right now in this conference where we're seeing teams get tripped up, good teams tripping up against bad teams every single week. You have to give the Titans credit, and maybe whether Derrick Henry comes back in late December or early January or not, it's forcing them to play a little bit differently, right? It's forcing them to say, okay, Ryan Tannehill, you need to make a few more plays, and he's a good quarterback. Certainly quarterbacks you'd rather have than him. But
dude, I'm watching Jared Goff run around and thinking that guy started in a Super Bowl, right? And people are making a case about Cam Newton starting in a Super Bowl and, you know, what the value of all of that is. But, you know, there's no thought for me that he can't be the AFC Super Bowl guy. I mean, he was drafted as a lottery pick, Wendell, bad situation. And really overtook a guy who was a lottery pick too in Mariota and took that job and has never looked back. He's very underappreciated, and probably because of the running game there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. He hasn't been asked to do a whole lot. And let's be clear. I'm not suggesting that the best formula for the Titans is Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball 45 times. I mean, there are very few quarterbacks you can say that about. You know, I mean, we've seen Patrick Mahomes have his issues this year. So it just speaks to how difficult it is to do. Well, no question. And we'll get into that talking about the Ravens as we move forward and start looking towards the Bears and the rest of the schedule. But you have to give Tennessee a lot of credit right now. I mean, you know, it's maybe not, it's not what you would have expected. I mean, you lose Derrick Henry and you're thinking, oh my goodness. And Adrian Peterson comes off the street, and not that he's, you know, gaining a bunch of yards or anything like that, but it's a different team. And you know, they put Julio Jones back on IR, so they haven't had him right, but you know, their defense has played well. You know, they still have AJ Brown, who's one of the better receivers in the AFC, and a guy I think is underrated, underappreciated around the league. But you have to give them credit because they've had quite the gauntlet of teams they've played here of late too, and they've taken care of business. They've beaten the Bills, they've beaten the Chiefs, you know, they beat the Chiefs handily. So you know, you look at this division and or this conference, and you're trying to figure it out. You know, I think Buffalo's good to really good. I think Tennessee is a legitimate good. I don't know if they're great, Super Bowl caliber, awesome. But then you kind of look at everyone else, and like the Ravens kind of top, to me, the Ravens top the list of everyone else, I guess. You know, they're third in the AFC right now, and you say, okay, they've got a lot going for them still. They have Lamar Jackson, but we know the issues they've had, and they came to the forefront once again Thursday night. But
well, you know what? If we're going to get into the Ravens, by the way, Luke Jones here, all of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I got some chicken over the weekend. It was delicious from my Burks location, which is right near my house, just off the screen if you're watching out. You know, as we get ready for this, the game on Thursday hasn't marinated well. And it hasn't marinated well because I'm like, all right, so it was Thursday night football. They stunk. Well, how did they play on Monday? Oh, they played Minnesota and they were behind and they got lucky. And well, how were they playing before that? And then you go back, oh, Cincinnati didn't look so good in that game. And, oh, well, what about the wins? And then I watched the Raiders lose and I'm like, we lost to them. I'm trying to think of where the high mark is over half of the season to say this is where they can be on their best day. And you take the Chargers game and now you find out whatever they are and playing at 10 o'clock in the morning, as we suspected. I feel like they're a mediocre outfit and you beat them up. Great. Fine. That's if that's your game of the year, if that's your signature win or signature appearance where you put four quarters of good football together, you blocked, you tackled, you kicked, you covered, you did all of you moved the chains, you controlled the ball, all of those powerful things that you'd want to see a team do. I'm literally looking at this and I look at the schedule and I say, where are they going to exert their influence? Maybe in Chicago this week, because the Bears aren't very good as far as I can tell. And they've got a sort of a neophyte quarterback that Wink can probably get in there and mix them up a little bit, scare them up. Once they get into the teeth of the schedule, we can sit here and urinate on the Browns, on the Steelers, because we watched them play over the weekend. Certainly the Bengals took care of business against the Ravens and then fell on their face again. It's all up and down. Where's the up for the Ravens without Ronnie Stanley, with this offensive line, knowing guys are in their 30s and generally, and we go back to every Steve Smith, Derek Mason, and those are just wide receivers, but aged players playing their best football in not this December, but late January now. We're going to add a game. We're going to add a real game, a Rams game, a Steelers game into this mix, into the second week of January. It's going to get cold. Then you got to go win three football games. I don't know. I look and say, can they be the team in L.A.? And I look at all these other teams with moving parts, and I think to myself, is there anything about the Ravens that could become dominant in the way that we wake up today with the Chiefs and we say, oh, I recognize how good they can be. They look that good on Sunday night. I want the Ravens to show me that at some point. And they're going to have opportunities against Cleveland, Pittsburgh, multiple opportunities against good teams to show that, to go out and do that four-quarter thing. I don't know. The Ravens are a diminished team to me. And I go back to a year ago when the Ronnie Stanley injury happened and Peters happened and Elliott now and guys they're losing. You know, I think that this is a very, very difficult thing. In addition to the running backs at the beginning of the year, and you mentioned Derrick Henry and how nicely Tennessee's doing, I haven't seen that step up from the Ravens, and I'm wondering if they have that gear.
And that's fair. I think that's a very fair question at this point. When I mean, I said it a few minutes ago. I still think they'll win the division, but that's not the ultimate goal, right? I mean, you don't just want to get in the playoffs, and you have to do that first, and they're going to earn it, to your point. With the schedule they have remaining, they're going to earn it. There's no question about that. If they get in, they will deserve to be in. And as much as you can talk about the first half of the schedule, and I do the same thing. I mean, you go through the schedule, and you know me, I'm an analytics nerd, and I look at DVOA and efficiency, and I think of their first nine games, they've actually been the less efficient team in six of those games. But hey, they've had Lamar Jackson and they've come back and they've won games that they shouldn't have won. And you don't apologize for that.
They're a 3-6 team in your mind.
I mean, not exactly. But what I would say is between that,
you're down in the fourth quarter, you're not playing good football.
But my point is with that, when you look at that, you look at the point differential, which is what, plus 14? You know, plus 14 through nine games. I mean, this is a team that's led the league in that category the last couple of years. And I don't say that as meaning that that's the end all be all. But if you want to look at something that indicates future performance, that can be a decent predictor of future performance, that tells you the Ravens have played closer to probably 5-4 than 6-3 or 4-5 than 6-3. But here's where you start talking about what the Ravens have going for them. They've already banked six wins. As much as we can poke holes in those games where you say, all right, they should have lost in Detroit, if not for 66-yard field goal by Tucker, they should have lost to Indy. You know, you could look at Kansas City. They had some good fortune in that game at a couple different points. They could have easily lost that game. So you can keep doing that. But at the same time, you don't have to give those six wins back. And that's where you look at them relative to the rest of the division. And you look at Pittsburgh now at 5-3-1. You look at the Browns, who are 5-5 now. And as good as the Browns can look at times, then you see what they did on Sunday against New England, where they were just, they're absolutely awful. I mean, they look like the 2-14 Browns of old in how they played. Cincinnati, they're 5-4. Certainly the Ravens shouldn't be taking them lightly because they saw firsthand what their ceiling looks like. But they are still a very young team that also lost to the Jets the following week. And they got blown out by the Browns at home, mind you. So you look at everything about the Ravens that worries you, the offensive line, as you mentioned, and the running backs are old and not especially explosive, and the defense can't stop giving up big plays. You look at all those things, but then you say, hey, they are still 6-3. That already puts them at an advantage compared to the rest of the division, and even look at other teams in the AFC in general in terms of jockeying for position. And they have Lamar Jackson. And I don't say that to be simplistic, but we've seen what this guy is capable of. And we've seen firsthand in this town, even a quarterback who did not put up overwhelming statistical numbers, statistics in the regular season, what he was capable of doing in January for four straight games. Joe Flacco in 2012. Is there a formula? Is there an alignment of the stars for the Ravens to do that with Lamar Jackson in January? Absolutely. Does that mean it's going to happen? I don't know. I'm not that smart. If I knew that, I'd be at a sports book right now, planning my retirement. But I think the overwhelming thought in watching what happened Sunday on the heels of what happened Thursday night is there are lots of teams in the AFC that look pretty good at times and look pretty bad or so-so at times. And I think the Ravens fit somewhere into that category. I mean, right now, if you're asking me who the best team in the AFC is, and I've said this at a couple different points, I think Buffalo, but Buffalo just lost to the Jaguars a week ago. So I'm not going to sit here and say they're invincible. I'm impressed with what Tennessee has done, but I also know in the big picture, over the long haul, how important Derrick Henry has been to them. So it's not as though you just be dismissive of it and say, they have Adrian Peterson now and a couple other guys they're throwing out there in the backfield. That's not Derrick Henry. So, but you just look down the list. That's where I come back to Sunday night in Kansas City looking how they looked. That's where the rest of the AFC looks at that and says, I hope that's not a sign of things to come, because you do look at this conference where it feels so wide open and it's so unpredictable week to week. And you're seeing teams like Buffalo lose to lousy teams one week. You're seeing teams like the Ravens lose to a lousy team one week. You kind of feel like it's still sitting there for someone to really emerge. And right now it looks like Buffalo and Tennessee, but we just spent a few minutes talking about the Patriots looking better. And, rookie quarterback, I get it, but Mac Jones is playing pretty well and their defense is really good. And we remember back in March, kind of scratching our heads about all the money the Patriots spent on that defense. Well, Matt Judon's been really good for them. And we could kind of get into that at some point, but he's played well for them and some other guys that are back and healthy for them. And we remember how many guys they had opt out a year ago and everything. So, I mean, it's still wide open, and that's the best thing you could say for the Ravens right now, is that it is still wide open from an AFC standpoint. But in the AFC North, as much as the Ravens have had their issues, just like anyone else, they're ahead right now. And I think as you project it going forward, you're not going to need to go 14-3 to win this division. I mean, that's just, it's not how this division's playing out. I think there are more than enough wins ahead for the Ravens to win this division. And I'll stick by that, even acknowledging in a big picture sense with the whole conference, I don't know if they're going to be able to put together 3 or 4 straight wins come January.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke, out on Twitter, and Luke at WNST.net. I will say it's a normal week this week. They're going to go play football at a normal time in Chicago. I think I'm going to be in Chicago this week if I can haul my bags out there with my back. But so far, so good. So I'm going to try to get a little pizza. Luke will be around for all that. Any breaking news, you get it first on the WNSD Tech Service. That's brought to you by Coons Ford. Dennis will be back in his appointed slot at 3 p.m. on Thursday, driving you home, getting you ready for the football game this weekend. The Maryland Lottery presents the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be letting ourselves play this week. Finally, I will return to Coco's in Lauraville. So I'm looking forward to that. Seeing Marcella, we're going to have Mayor Brandon Scott with us. Senator Corey McCray is going to be joining us. Some friends from Coppin. We are the voice of Coppin, the 2021 Eagles Volleyball Northern Division MEAC champions. I'm wearing my shirt right now. So we're going to have some Coppin folks out on Wednesday as well. Then next Friday, we take it up north to Hartford County on Black Friday. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs from 2 until 5. All leftover pumpkin pie, and especially mincemeat. I could go for a really nice slice of mincemeat pie. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, getting you ready for the games. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.